Hallelujah. We're going to do something just a little different this morning. I want to do this just because it's what I feel stirring in my spirit right now. So, Miss Gloria, I want you to go over there. Okay. Now, band, we'll all be joining hands. We're going to join hands, and we're going to pray for this body. Is that all right? So that reason I wanted you over there is because you got a hand now. So everybody join with one hand. You'll have to reach across the aisle. You'll be the bridge there, Miss Maggie. Just make sure it works its way around. There. No, there you go, Nova. Reach around there. Okay, you got I was wondering how they were going to do that. I figured he'd just come out. But all right. The reason I'm going to do this, folks, is I know some of you have been attacked. I was. I'll be honest with you. Part of me just wants to grab the devil by the head, rip it off, spit down his neck, and shove his head so far up his keister that he'll never come back. Amen? That's how I'm feeling. I know some of you have been attacked, and I got attacked earlier on this weekend, so my peace is gone, so I'm at war. That's all I got to say. I'm at war, and I'm ready to kick butt and take his name. Amen? So let's pray right now. Father, in Jesus' name, we lift up each and every member of this body. Father, we take a stand against every demonic force that has been leashed against every person in here, every person who's a member of this body, Lord, right now. In Jesus' name, we resist attack. We stand fast in the faith that has gotten us through, Lord God. We stand knowing that you are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are the Lord of Hosts. And now, Father, I release your peace right now into your people, into me. Father, flow through me today as I minister to them. Lord God, I speak life right now into them. I speak peace into their situations. Lord God, I thank you and praise you that you're moving. And Father God, we send all these demonic forces back to hell where they came from. They got to go. They cannot stay here, and they cannot remain bothering us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Now I'm ready to preach. Hallelujah. But I just got to tell you, folks, that it was just burning in me. The devil's attacking. Why? Because 2 weeks ago, I prayed for people to start filling these seats. The devil wants nothing more than this church to stop growing. Okay? It's not that you aren't growing. That's how I judge a church. I got people, oh, my church is 200. Well, in this county, I'm going to tell you right now, unless you know what the heck you're doing, 200 is the number that churches split in this county. Just so you know, every church that is hit 200 splits because they don't know what they're up against. The devil has just been waiting. And I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to blow that away. God did not give us this property. He did not give us these buildings. He did not give us you for no reason. We got teachers. I know they're just aching to teach a room full of kids. Nursery workers, they may not be on the same boat. But I'm here to tell you, folks, we're getting ready is what's been happening. People have been locking in. If you're feeling, well, I'm just getting bored. Well, what are you doing with your life? Don't get bored. This isn't real ministry. Ministry's outside there. Nowhere did Jesus say, go hole up in a church, in a building, and that's where you minister. Man, you're supposed to minister to people everywhere. The grocery store, getting your hair cut, whatever. I know Monica gets the opportunity. She's like, you either sit here and listen to what I'm going to tell you, or I'm going to cut your ear. I'm just kidding. I think maybe telling me to shut up was the only time that, no. But I'm here to tell you, folks, the devil wants nothing more than to stop and to steal your peace. There's been lots of things happen, stupid things. The devil is on the offensive, and we need to keep that in mind. Last night at the party, water balloons showed up. And my sister showed up, and Jesse was coming around the corner with a big one. And he was waiting, and my sister walked over to plot against me. And while Jesse was standing there, that balloon exploded all over her. However, my boys, I will give them credit where credit is due. They are like their father. They are not going to give up. And they kept coming. And eventually I figured out what they were doing, so I went and sat by Bob and Karen. Mind you, I had to worm my way into that little tiny hole. That's right, buddy. He was there for part of it. And so anyhow, last night, I was like, you know what? Okay, I'm getting a little scrunched here. The bugs are crawling all over me. I said, you know what? The best defense is a wicked offense. So I went around the corner of the house with my flip-flops, gathering water bottles and water balloons and footballs and everything else I could throw. I got soaked, but I'm going to tell you right now, it was worth it. I was a lot cooler, I ain't going to lie. But I'm just telling you, folks, we cannot just sit, hold up where we're safe. Sometimes we got to say, you know what? If I got to be on defense, I'm scoring. I'm just going to run that score up so far, you can't get me. So let's not be afraid to attack. Amen. Most of the church would just soon sit back and say, well, the devil's attacking us. Let's just have a moment of silence. Forget silence. Silence is what the devil wants. We're going to talk about maybe that here in a little bit. Maybe that's today. Maybe that's next week's message. I don't know. Something God was showing me about faith. All right. Let's bless the tithing offering, shall we? Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I thank you and praise you for this day. Lord God, I thank you that your shalom peace is resting upon us now. Nothing missing, nothing broken, Father. And when words need to be spoken, words will rise up from you. Lord God, and that if we do not need to speak such words, that peace will overcome us. And we will hold that peace until such a time as it's necessary. Father, I thank you right now for this tithe and offering. I receive it on your behalf. I bless it, Lord God. Bless the giver, Father. Your word says that if we will try you in this, that means to test you, that you will prove yourself faithful time and time again. And I thank you, Lord, that you are not a man that you should lie. Bless it now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, super kids are dismissed and you may be seated. Well, I got to tell you, yesterday before Carter's party, we were watching him and he was, you know, if you've paid attention, you've seen him crawling under chairs now. And he's trying to escape and all this stuff. And he was getting tired yesterday afternoon, and so Grandma was holding him, and he was content, but she was trying to drink her coffee, which is not a good combination. And so I said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to sit down over on the couch. We'll just sit here and watch The Lion King and, you know, in the air conditioning, and he can sit with me, and if he goes to sleep, he goes to sleep. Well, he came over and sat down. He was sitting there in the crook of my arm for a little bit, and well, then he got bored and he kept wanting to get up, so I just kept pushing him back. He'd groan and grind and whine a little bit. And then he spun around backwards looking at me, and then he just starts sliding backwards away from me. And so I put my foot up to block him from getting off that part of the couch, and he just kept trying to get over, and I could raise my foot up, and he just got fed up with it. And then I'd pull him back up, he'd do the same thing again. Well, Grandma comes over and sits beside me. And he crawls back up to me. He gets up there to me. And I put my arm up. Wasn't going to let him. I was going to make him sit next to Grandpa. Or at least wind down. Because he was getting pretty rambunctious. And he couldn't get past me at that point. And I have never seen it. The kid just turned one today. He launched an attack. He literally launched. He jumped over me to get to her. And I said, I got to give you that. I said, that was a good tactic, man. Stand there, and then all of a sudden he just jumps to get across my arm, and I had to give up. And then he did end up going to sleep. But anyhow, you know, folks, just like that, we've got to remember, we have got to keep trying. The devil wants nothing more than to stop you, to stop your growth. He'll tell you everything else is more important. He'll tell you, oh, you know, you gotta do this, you gotta do that. There's only so much you gotta do. Rest of the things, you know, I know somebody came after Maggie. You ain't got to go to church. No, I don't got to, but I want to. That's why we're here. See, we're all here because we want to. I don't make you. I pray you come because you know what's coming. I wouldn't have been a very good Marine if I'd have kept skipping roll call. Roll call is where we got the word. I think it's hilarious. That's what we called it. What's the word? Why are we here? To get the word. We come together. We build that camaraderie when we do this. But folks, I'm telling you, it's not out of works we do it. We're learning about that. We're learning about works and how useless really works are. Having said that, Romans chapter 4. What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. Why does he not have anything to boast before God? Because God knows his works are as filthy rags. I mean, if we're going to look at Abraham as a man of faith, and that's what he is accounted as a man of faith, then we also have to look at the fact that when he went to Egypt, he told Pharaoh, she's my sister. How about Abimelech with Isaac? She's my sister. It was an out-and-out lie. She's my wife. But he was afraid for himself. So we now know that Abraham really was an imperfect man, but he was still a man of righteousness because it was accounted to him. Verse 3. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. That's Genesis 15, verse 6. Where Abraham is standing outside his tent now and he's looking up at the stars and God says, see those stars? Your descendants will be like those stars. And he believed God, right? The Bible doesn't say anything that he had a confession. I think that is amazing. God knew, right? Then people said, God knows my heart. I'm going to tell you right now, oh, yes, he does. God knows your heart. He knows how wicked it really is. And if you're actually outstating that, you have a dirty heart. It's like all the people that get these tattoos and say, only God can judge me. As they're getting into the back of the police car, well, no, there's going to be a guy or a gal sitting in a robe behind a big stand that's going to judge you. And you've been found guilty. And in the end, yes, God's going to judge you because he's been telling you, get out of that lifestyle. For it was accounted to him righteous because he believed God right then and there in his heart that God was going to do that. You know what's wrong with us today? God tells us something and we try to figure out how it's going to happen. Ooh, God, you're going to bless me? Are you going to use Bill Gates to do it? Is he just going to come down and give me $100 million? No, he's not. Do you know how God blessed Abraham? I want to point this out, and I wish this room were full of preachers right now. There's a scripture on into Genesis. You've read the part in about Sodom and Gomorrah, right? Where Lot is living in Sodom and I forget which army it was, came and they took all the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, everything they owned, took Lot and his family and all of them. And Abraham rose up an army. He got other people in the neighborhood involved. He took his own servants and they went and they attacked these people and they took everything back. And when they came back, the king of Sodom said, here, you take all the belongings. We will start over. And Abraham said what, folks? No, I will not take it, lest you say you've made me rich. God will make me rich. And I, you know, obviously know reasons why I say that. But if I stand up here and tell you to keep giving to me, and I'm wealthy now, who made me rich? If God blesses me and you get jealous because, well, he's living high and mighty off the church. Trust me, I am not. You get jealous because I got a new vehicle? Tough. You willing to pay the price I've paid? Not only have I worked here, did my job here, worked at my house, I worked elsewhere for the last 5 years. Oh, by the way, my house? Me and my family have done that. We worked our butts off. We didn't go on vacation. We worked on our house. Am I tired of it? For a while, yes. Papa needs a break. But the point being, you didn't do it. God did it. God made things possible. God blessed me. It's why when Joshua said, "Dad, why are you worried about it? You know God will, you'll just get one." Yeah, I'll get it when I'm ready for it. It'll be there. I'm not worried about it. This was Abraham. He wasn't worried. And the Bible says that he had cattle, he had gold, he had donkeys, and he had camels and servants. Abraham himself was an army. We need to remember that. Part of what Abraham had nothing to do. He trusted and believed God. Part of the blessing that we experience is trusting in God and living in faith. Now, it says it was accounted to him. Now, this, I love this one. Now, to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. I don't think I'd ever really comprehend it. I've read the Bible all the way. And I'm amazed every time I get in there, I'm like, how did I miss that? If I think that my works are what's justifying me, it's actually considered a debt. Go figure, huh? Now, while owing people money is not exactly the greatest thing in the world, it's not a sin. Let's get that through. Okay? However, if I think that by my works I'm being justified, it is. Right there it is. What is the debt? He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. Right? Y'all remember the old song. Sin is a debt that we owe. And if we think that our works is what's justifying us, it's not. Our works are, the things that we do as works are merely things we do because God is moving on us. Well, I go help the orphans. I go help the homeless. I go help this. I go help that. That's great. You need to do that. Those are things that we read in the Bible. Those are things that we call fruits of the Spirit. Kindness, gentleness, love. All of those things. You want to know what sin is? Read the previous scripture above that. All those works of the flesh. Because here's what happens. Well, you know, Pastor, I donated, I built, I think I deserve a seat up front. Well, we've got plenty of seats. Nobody wants to sit in them. Not too many people can handle the shower you get sometimes. I'm not a front row person either. I'm not going to lie. I preferred the back. Sometimes it was because I was being bad, but. But ultimately, folks, church is split because somebody got offended. Well, they took my seat. Where who was it I saw that somebody posted the other day, the little funny. Was that you, Vicky? It was funny about the church grew quiet as the so-and-so family came in and there were visitors sitting in their seat. That is a real thing. I think you need to know that. That is legit. See, it says right there, this was donated in honor of my great-great ancestor. If the pastor had been thinking at that time in life, he said, you know what? No. That's God's. That ain't yours. We don't put names on things. This isn't my building. I'm signed for it, but it ain't my building. It's God's. It's ours. If I tell you it's yours, part yours, you help take care of it, don't you? You don't let your kids kick holes in the wall. Well, then that means that the church can't afford to do this because, well, now we got to repair the drywall that your kid knocked a hole in. Now, anyhow, but we're not built around just works. We do things. Well, God, we help the hungry. We help those who are who need clothes. If you pay attention in the Bible, that's how the church is judged. People keep ignoring this part where Jesus says separates the sheep and the goats. The goats aren't, I've been told one thing about goats, you just milk the goats and let them go. Well, there's people you can't tame. Goats are wild. Sheep enjoy being cared for. Goats, they want to do what they want to do. People can change from being a goat to a sheep, by the way. But they got to have somebody that's going to be firm and tell them the truth. Now, I just heard a funny buzzing. When it comes down to it, Jesus said, I'm going to separate the sheep and the goats. Those who were sheep, they helped those who were in chains of bondage. Not only the physical chains, spiritual chains. They fed those who were hungry. Not only naturally hungry, physically, or spiritually as you were. Not only those who were naked, physically, those who were naked spiritually. Because what? How about we go back and now jump to Revelation, and Jesus is talking to the churches, and I believe it was Laodicea, and he said, you say, I've become rich. He said, I say, you are blind. You are naked. He said, I challenge you to go buy clothes from me. Spiritual clothes. Y'all do realize, in reality, we'll be all walking around heaven naked. Won't be no sin. Our bodies will be the way God created them, just so you know. We won't have to be fighting anything. There's a balance. Well, our church, we do this. Well, that's great. You know how come you were able to do that? Because we helped you. But we can't take and say, well, look at our works. No. No. It's by God's grace. Except God's grace, there we are. We're in the same boats. Now, so if our works, we think, well, I'm working on this. You know, these God, my works are piling up. If that's what you think is your justification, right there it is. It says it's counted as a debt. It's a debt of sin. That's what debt it is. Verse 5. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. God's after faith, because if you believe in faith, you will ultimately do what God says. You will do what's right. Abraham was 75 years old when he did that. By the way, it was before circumcision. We're not going to probably get into too much of this because we're getting ready to jump into circumcision, him talking about the circumcision. But this promise, he was accounted as a righteous man by faith before he was circumcised. 24 years before he was circumcised. He had Ishmael at 86. He had Isaac at 100. At 99, God said, every male within your camp, whether you bought them, whether they were born here, whether they're your blood or not, they will be circumcised if they are 8 days old and older. At that point, they were all circumcised. Now, the whole point of this was as an outward sign of this covenant that God had made to Abraham. Abraham took upon him that mark for his descendants, not for him. Are we following this? He did it for others. It had nothing to do with him. It was already accounted righteousness. He took that mark, and they were to take it as well as a sign of the covenant God made with Abraham so that they could be righteous. We live in such a world that, as I've said before, folks, people are trying to bring religion on you, trying to bring Judaism into the role of Christianity, and it cannot happen. Because Judaism is a dead religion without Jesus Christ. Because it's just rules. I believe they love God, but they don't know God. Not like Abraham. Not like Noah. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. They knew regulations. We love regulations. I've been thinking about that. Well, we got regulation on this. We got a regulation on that. Regulation on this. Dit. We've got speed limits. Well, we know why we have speed limits. It's more for safety. It's not a bad thing, is it? But yet the cops will allow you a certain amount of leeway. I'm not going to tell you where they do it. About time I tell you that, you're going to go fly through that section and get a speeding ticket. Well, my pastor said you'd let me do this. As somebody I once heard got pulled over and said, well, you're going to give me a warning, right? He said, nope, I give you guys enough room to hang yourself, and when you hang yourself, you're hung. You're mine. But we cannot live by those laws that we think make us holy. We're holy as He is holy. That's what Jesus is coming back for, is holiness. And when we purchase clothes from Him to cover our nakedness, the purchase is made through faith. Not through coming up and beating yourself, flogging yourself. That literally is a thing within the Catholic Church. They have a little whip, and they whip their backs. They punish themselves because they sinned. Now, I'm going to help you here on this. Your sins are forgiven, even ones you haven't committed yet. I'm going to tell you something. I heard somebody say, you don't ever need to ask God to forgive you again. That is technically right. However, I'm going to tell you, you do. Not for God's sake, for yours. It's for your conscience sake, to clear your conscience of that, Father, I know I'm forgiven, forgive me. I receive that, is what you're saying. When you say forgive me, you're saying I receive that forgiveness. Because otherwise, here's what we do. Yeah, God, I know, boy, I had a good time last night. Boy, those girls, woo, doggy. Oh, yeah, right, that's right. Father, I'm in your forgiveness, I understand. Oh, yeah, that's right, Father. I'm in your forgiveness. That's sloppy grace. But when you come back and you have the revelation, God, I've sinned. And you fall to your knees and you ask God to forgive you. That's humility. The other is arrogance. That's where we started getting into. People wanted to get away from rules and regulations. That's great. Problem is, we went to the other side of that road. Anybody know what's on the other side of the road? Another ditch. Going the other direction. And when we get stuck in that ditch, we're not free. We have to stay in the road. I don't know about y'all. Anybody else have a mother, or maybe you like a country or gospel bluegrass? Anybody? My mom, she... Oh, Lord. For the longest time, I thought I was just an old chunk of coal. Destined to be a diamond. But there was a song that I do remember. And it just popped into my head one day as I was riding my bicycle down the road. It said, if you just stay between the white lines, never pass on the yellow lines, you'll get to heaven right on time. We have to stay between the white lines on the road. We know that the white lines are set just so far off the road, and then what? Anybody ever just gotten off to the edge of that blacktop? Y'all know what happens to the front end of your car, don't you? You have a Dear Jesus moment. You grab hold of that steering wheel. You mothers, here's the way you are. I mean, I ain't be anybody over there, but you got your arm out there to stop it. I was so glad when I got big enough my mom didn't have to. Or actually, they made seatbelts law because I didn't take the beatings. Like, oh, jeez. What was that for? Did you see that car? He's a half mile away. But if we obey what is in God's real law, Go to Galatians 5 if you want. Not tonight, right, not right now. I'm telling you where to go for the fruits of the Spirit. Those are the laws you abide by. Those are the laws you function by. The Bible tells us many things. We can be angry. It is a right. We can be angry. I was angry this morning. I need you to understand that. I've been praying in the Spirit, and I'm like, God, I'm just standing back here, and I'm like, God, right now at the moment, I want to go bust some holes in some drywall. That's what I want to do. I want to just explode on what the devil is doing. But I can't. I'm not going to bust the holes in the drywall. Y'all know why? I'm the dummy that's got to fix them. I'm not that stupid. As Phil says, I may be some dumb, but I ain't plumb dumb. And I got to fix them holes so I'm not tearing them up. So what do? We get angry and we sin not. Well, you sent the devils back to hell. I didn't command them to stay there. Just get away from us. I can't send them there for eternity. They know that. Their day is coming. But they do have to leave. And I don't have to roll on the floor fuming at the mouth to get them to do it. Because as the centurion soldier said, I'm a man under authority. And I say to one, go, and he goes. I was an NCO. When I told a Lance Corporal or Private to do something, they'd better do it. And I loved the ones that always said, well, we're the same rank. Yeah, except I'm your senior. Now what are you going to do? You're going to go do what I said to do because I am your senior. I am your authority. I did like that for a little bit. By the way, if it meant I was a senior, it meant we had very few NCOs. We were pulling double and triple duty sometimes. But I'm here to tell you, folks, circumcision was something that was done by Abraham just for his descendants. That was it. Jesus experienced things on the cross, went through things on the cross we do not have to experience. He did it for us. There were some scriptures I wanted to... Go to verse 13, Carsey. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Because it was made, again, before he was ever circumcised. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect. Because the law brings about wrath, for where there is no law, there is no transgression. Right? Remember, I told you, I didn't know what stealing was. I knew I wanted that bubble yum bubble gum. And I stole it. And if it weren't for all that aromatic purple flavoring, I'd have got away with it. I was later introduced to transgression and the results of it. To this day, I still can't tell you what happened to the rest of the pack. Somebody had to chew it. We weren't driving back to Mount Vernon to return a 20-cent thing of bubble gum. Gas was probably about $1.40 at that point. It was late 70s. Maybe more, I don't remember. Because the law brings about wrath, for where there's no law, there's no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise made might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. If we believe in faith, we are the descendants of Abraham. That's why God said, I'm going to change your name to Abraham from Abram. You will be a father of many nations. That's what his name translated means. His descendants are one nation. We've got Irish, Scottish, British, German, Swedish, Dutch. Is there anybody that I didn't name? Anybody got Asian in them, in your ancestry? Nobody? Did I seriously name just about everybody? Might be some Finnish, Danish, but we're all American, right? So in the end, folks, whether we were straight on descendants of Abraham or not is immaterial. It's the fact that we really weren't, and now we are of faith because we believe in Jesus Christ. Who is the father of us all. As it was written, I have made you a father of many nations. In the presence of him who believed, whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope, believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken. So shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully convinced that what he promised, he was also able to perform. That's where we've got to stand. God promised, if God promised you, so many people get these ideologies in their hearts that, well, I heard from God that he said I could do this. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, if it goes contrary to anything the Bible teaches, God didn't tell you to do that. People believing for a husband. Well, you believe for a husband or spouse. God ain't killing their current spouse just so you can have them. Amen. That's lust. That's murder. We can go on to the whole long list of things that that is. That is not faith. Okay? Well, God told me I was going to have that house. Well, if God told you he was going to have that house, you don't need to do a thing to get it. So quit going by it, claiming it. It ain't yours. That's not faith. That's greed. If God told you something about a house, well, first off, clean the one you got now. So many people want the big house. You know what you get with a big house? Bigger bills. More time to clean up. More repair. Everything goes up when you, oh, and your taxes. I'll tell you right now, don't put a porch on your house. Whoo, doggy, those... I think that costs as much as what the whole addition did. But it is what it is. Pay the tax and go on. But what I'm here to tell you, let God do the things that he said he was going to perform. Don't help him out. It didn't work out for Abraham, now did it? God promised him that entire land between the Nile and the Euphrates. All of it. God promised to his children. By the way, that would include Saudi Arabia, Yemen, Kuwait. Y'all following me? Who possesses those lands? Descendants of Abraham, but not the ones he wanted to bless. Because Abraham took it upon himself and listened to somebody who had doubt in their heart, Sarai. She was Sarai at that time. Took it upon himself and created a baby with Hagar, who is now just as multiplied as anybody else. And by the way, you want to know where most of the money in the world is? There you have it. Dubai, all these places, they're descendants of Abraham if they're Arabic. But that's not who God wanted to bless with that land. Ultimately, God knew that Abraham was going to do what he did. And so either way, God is truth. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, it was written for his, not for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us. It shall be imputed to us who believes in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. The whole point of it being written down was for us to know, hey, We don't have to convert to Judaism. We have to trust in Jesus Christ with our whole heart that God sent him. He lived a sinless life. He was resurrected, and he is on the sitting on the right hand of God right now. That's what we have to believe. It breaks my heart to see that the church has segregated or been splintered so many ways because of doubt. I don't believe in tongues. They pass away. They did not pass away. They never did. They will. But let's understand this. Knowledge will too. There will be no more point. By the way, I've told you before, the whole point of tongues and praying in tongues is because we don't have the capacity for love to pray into a situation what needs to be done. That's ultimately what it is. The Holy Spirit is God's Spirit and God is love. And so when he's praying, he's praying God's love and his will. Because let's say somebody did me wrong. What am I going to have a tendency to pray? Lord, smite them with diarrhea for a week. Now, just so you know, that may have been God's intention to begin with.
Well, God wouldn't give people diarrhea to get their attention. I think I'd rather have diarrhea than a truck go through my face.
Right? God blocks us from doing stupid things and when we're in disobedience. Now, so he sent the Holy Spirit who now prays, intercedes for us because we don't know how to pray. If you've forgotten, I feel it sometimes need to be reminded of it. Faith works through love. Not through works. Now, sometimes you got to sow a seed, don't you? I've sown seeds. And boom. There came the seed. Into fruition. Sometimes it took years. I came across it the other day. Have a list of things we were believing for. Things we had sowed seeds for. Things we'd never paid much attention to because I put the thing in my drawer and lost it. And I come across it cleaning out. I can't get rid of that. There's three things on that list of 25 that God... that hasn't happened yet. I look down through there and I'm like, well, God answered that for her. He answered that for me. We sowed seeds. Because Abraham, by the way, had a seed to sow. I'm not trying to be gross or weird. That's how babies are made. There's only one baby on this planet that has ever been on this planet who was not made the conventional way. Faith comes through grace, not through law. It doesn't come through doing works. When you fail, ask God to forgive you. It's for you, not for God. God already forgave you. Once and for all, when Jesus, I believe it's when Jesus was saying, more importantly than anything, when he said, Father, forgive them, they didn't know what they were doing. Not only was it for these guys that were actually nailing him to that cross and belittling him, it was for the rest of us. How many of you knew you were in sin until you got revelation? We didn't know. And then later on we found out, oh, wait a minute, that wasn't sin, this was sin. There's so many things in the Bible that we look at. Well, I'm a person. I'm quick to anger. Well, get over it because it's a sin. It doesn't say that it can't boil up, but you better be careful where you blow up. That's why I just wanted to go punch some walls. And these are going to hurt. They're 5/8 drywall. Half inch is pushing it for me. But it doesn't mean I sinned. Because instead of blowing up and ripping my wife's head off or ripping somebody else a new one, I just said, God, we're going to deal with this. The devil's trying to stir something. When he's starting to stir something, we need to identify that time. And calling out for your brothers and sisters. Like I said, I know some of you dealt with a bunch of different things this week already. The devil is trying to steal from us. And if he can accomplish that, he will destroy. His motive is seek and destroy. I live by two things. To locate, close with, and destroy the enemy by fire and maneuvers, or repel the enemy's assault with fire and close combat. Those are two things. And they aren't even, you're not going to find them in your Bible. You will find them in the Marine Corps handbook. Because that is the mission of the Marine Rifle Squad. That's what the church is supposed to be doing. Not mark timing and doing monkey drills. Look at how good we are. Woohoo! Yay! We got our works going out for us. Why is there sin running rampant in church? And I'm not just talking, I'm talking about so many churches today. People are shacking up and think it's okay. Oh, look, we baptized our children. Are you married? No, we just don't believe in that. How dumb can you be and still breathe oxygen? Marriage is a requirement. Now, I'm going to state this. I have said in times past that when God, back in the day, marriage was the act of you taking the virginity. Today, we have laws. The whole purpose of it was to keep purity there. Nothing else. It was to keep purity. That's why Paul had to tell the church, get off the people who are married. The marriage bed is undefiled. Keep your nose out of there, nosy rose. No, nothing. All these sayings. Katie, bar the doors. I said that one day, and Katie's, huh? What door? What am I bar? But we've got to remember, he's coming back for a church without spot nor blemish. No wrinkles. It means we did our due diligence in cleaning up our lives, working on the things that God started showing us. I've looked, and I love watching people at different stages and how you're growing, how you're stretching, how you're trusting God. Some of you never knew some of this before. Some of you have been on the raw end of the deal of this before. So many people, I've got so many friends, I got hurt in church. I'm never going back to a church. You got offense, brother. That's sin. That's unforgiveness. And when the Bible says you choose to unforgive somebody else, or you choose to forgive, God brings back your sin. That's one part of that parable we don't want to read. I've never heard, when I saw that, I'm like, wait a minute, God, you said his debt was brought back. Well, Jesus cast it as far as the east is to the west. He did, but he wasn't the one you owed the debt to. Who still got hold of that? The one you owed the debt to. The God of this world. He's going to bring it back because you're saying, God, your blood can't cover what they did to me. That's a smack in the face of God. And when we complain about anything, we're saying, God, your way isn't good enough. Oh, I know you fed me, Lord. But, you know, I didn't want quail. I wanted chicken parmesan. I'm getting hungry. Yeah.
That bowl of cereal last night wore off. When we start complaining about every little thing, that's why you got to be careful. Don't complain about the heat. It's going to be 30 below at some point this year. I know you like that stuff. I don't. There's a few of you. You like the cold.
I guess my thing was I always worked out in it. That's why I didn't like it.
Don't complain about it. Hey, instead, say, Lord, it's warm. I thank you that I have the option to go get air conditioning. I thank you for the, I forget, it was his last name, Davis or something like that, who created the air conditioner. Be thankful. Well, I don't have an air conditioner, Pastor. Well, you know what? Suck it up, buttercup. I'm just here to say that. Wah.
Oh, but Pastor, wouldn't it be so nice if we were more like the jungle?
Welcome to it, baby. This is mild. I've lived in a jungle. 90% humidity at 100 degrees. No air conditioning. And a metal walls, metal roof, and two patent fans at either end of the doors. And in between there, 80 smelly Marines. Yeah. You really don't want a rainforest. Pat's been there. These places are awful. Why do you think they want to come here? But I'm here to tell you, don't complain. You'll start complaining about the weather. Next thing you know, you'll be complaining about your car. You'll complain about your house. You'll complain about your spouse. You know, I'm going to take, is it Gus from Gone Fishing? It could be worse. Seriously, it could be worse. It really could. Well, it's 95 degrees out there and I'm just so hot. Yeah, so am I. But you just don't understand, Pastor. What don't I understand? Everybody's hot. But you just don't understand about my spouse. Well, think about their spouse. Maybe if you two prayed for each other instead of about each other, say, Lord, is there something in me that needs to change? Or, Lord, do I need to stand my ground? God will show you what you got to do. That's why I prayed God give us the words. Because our words is what makes things happen. By the way, I'm going to hit this and I'm going to run away from it. I'll end shortly after this. He had them circumcised as a sign. Typically, a sign is something you hang out for all to see. Now, even back then, they didn't walk around with that hanging out. Adam's time they did. Everything was hanging out for everybody. Nobody knew any different. However, even in Abraham's time, they wore robes. They covered themselves. This was a sign of faith. But I need you to understand something, folks. What had God promised him? Descendants. As many as the stars in the sand. And where did it all begin? The point of the covenant. Literally. The reproductive part. Today, words. Because it's why he said that he who without anything created all that we see. We know from Genesis how it was created. We know from Luke who was the creation. We know now that the creator, the word, was crucified, circumcised from us. That part was done away with so that we may live by faith, in faith, speaking words of truth and words of life.
So if you want those words, you better start speaking those words. Quit complaining. Quit whining about it. God, this is what I want. I want my children to serve you. I want, and you got to live like that. I want my children blessed. I want to walk in your blessings. I want my church blessed. I want my brothers and sisters blessed. You start speaking those words. The word comes to life. Word is power. Words can start wars. Words can end wars. Words can create life, or words can create death. Y'all have heard about the experiment of talking to plants, household plants. They spoke to one set of plants in a negative way, and they spoke to another set, and they treated them the same. And the ones that were spoken negatively and cursed died. I don't know. There's more to this world than we got any kind of clue over. That's where we're going to, I think, God's releasing me from this now. Just keep moving on in the same vein, but some other aspects of being free from law. Because legalism doesn't explain the things of God. How do you explain the orbit? Well, if we listen to different people, I mean, and the same well-meaning people, I know they, but they just didn't know any better. How does lightning? What is thunder? It's the angels bowling. Instead of the sheer power of an awesome God who has a positive charge and a negative charge, and when it splits the air so fast, I mean, it gets your attention, that thunder, but I'm going to tell you, I love that stuff. However, with 11 cottonwoods growing up beside my house and three of them showing signs of having been struck by lightning, I'm not wanting to be that close. But I'm here to tell you, that is such power that it can split the air. Has anybody ever heard a bullet crack over your head? When I say crack, you've heard it actually cut the air. I know Pat has. I have. Now, just FYI, if you heard it crack, that meant that it was only within a few feet of your head. Just FYI. I've heard them. That crack is the tip of that bullet splitting the air. It's not from the gun. That crack may not even have gotten to you. You may not have even heard that explosion yet. But the one that you heard, that was the air over top of your head splitting because of the sheer power. Think about our God. That when he spoke, mountains tremble. Now you might understand why the children of Israel maybe didn't want to go see God. They're looking up here, man, the lightning. Where there's lightning, there's thunder and rumblings, and all this is going on over top of a mountain that, while we use the word mountain, it was not like Pike's Peak. It would be considered more of a hill. Something more like the Blue Ridge. They're mountains, but they are not the Rockies. They're short mountains, and you're real close to that. They were afraid of the sheer power of God. By the way, that's the same power he gave you. That is why this morning, every demon that was coming against you, every demon that was coming against us, fled. The devil can't have our peace. The devil can't steal our joy. Refuse to give it to him. And if he comes back to you again, make another assault. Be like Justin or Carter. Make a jump. He got to where he wanted to be. In the arms of Grandma. Because I promise you, when you jump, you fall into the Father's arms. Some of you, that may be just what you need to do. If you're tired of beating your head against a wall about things, jump. You know, second closing. I promise. Some of us want joy. There was a little kiddie song I remember from Sunday school. If you want joy, you must clap for it. If you want joy, you must jump for it. Well, my feet don't move. And who's in charge of your feet? Feel free to jump. If you got to get on a trampoline and jump, I don't care. Clap. People already think you're crazy anyhow. They know you go here. And who cares what people think about you? Maybe that's your problem. Oh, well, your name is Mud. Don't let what people think about you keep you down and steal your joy. There's joy in salvation. All right, let's stand. I promised that time I'd close. And that was hard. But what I do want to tell you is, if you will start taking some of these things, listen, I know different people in here got different things from what I spoke today. Take what you got, apply it to your life, and keep applying it until something happens. By the way, if you're believing for a job and you're not putting out applications, you ain't believing for a job. Well, I'm believing God for a new car. What kind of car do you want? I don't know. You ain't believing God for a new car. How can you be believing God for a new car when you don't even know what you want? Well, anything will be fine. No, anything won't be fine. Trust me. I have driven anything. And the first time I hit that big mud hole and got soaked inside the car, because as it turns out, the only floor was the carpet. That was anything. You don't want anything. You want God's best. And God will bring you His best. You've got to trust Him for it. By the way, quit putting parameters on God. Just saying that. God, you got to work within this and this parameter. God looks at you and said, I didn't work between those parameters when I created a world. Why would I work between those parameters working with you? But if you don't want me to do what I got to do, you won't get it. I usually find when I'm kind of bumping my head with God, it's because I'm out of the parameters. God's never out of the parameters. He's never early. He's never late. He's always on time. Well, God, I wish you'd have showed up 3 seconds sooner. I wouldn't have had to sweat a little bit. You still don't trust God. And by the way, He'll make you sweat more the next time. That's been my experience. Trust Him. Abraham did. Abraham had to. 25 years for one promise. One promise. And then at that point, it was just one child. He could not really have fathomed that Isaac was going to have twins. And from those twins would come multiple. Just amazing. It really is. All right, let's pray. Father God in heaven, we are grateful, Lord, for your grace. Lord, I thank you and praise you now that you're helping us all to walk in that grace. That we're not walking according to works, not that we're going to stop doing good works, but that we realize those good works don't justify us before you. So, Lord, I pray now that as your hands and as your feet on this planet and as your mouthpiece, Lord God, that we, your church would do the things we're called to do. Do the things we're supposed to do. But Father, we understand that it's only through grace by which we are saved. Now, Lord, I pray that as each and every person goes from this place today, Father, that the revelation that they are one of Abraham's promises, they are part of that promise, that we will walk according to the blessing of Abraham in all things. But Father, that also particularly per their situations, Lord, you are moving. You are changing hearts. You are softening hearts, Father God. You are giving revelations. Lord God, you're bringing peace and understanding and good out of situations meant to destroy. I thank you, Father, that you're doing that. And now, Father, I thank you for these people. Lord God, they are your people. I thank you, Father, that they are growing in your faith. They're growing mighty and stronger, Father, and that when the devil sees them wake up in the morning, he says, oh no, they're awake. Father, I pray that they will walk in all peace and all victory. In Jesus' name, amen.